Welcome to the latest edition of the ACS Local Shop podcast. I'm Chris Noyce, and as always, I encourage you to subscribe to the podcast. It's really easy to do if you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast. Just click the subscribe button, and what it means is you get the exclusive benefit of being able to get the podcast a few hours before anyone else. So that's got to be worth it. Doesn't cost anything. I'm joined today to talk about colleagues in the convenience sector. We do a lot talking about research into what retailers think, what leaders think, but we've recently been doing a bit more about what the people actually working in the sector, the 360,000 people that are, you know, on the front line doing all the work. And I'm joined today by Katie Cross.
Hi.
And Steve Dowling.
Hello.
Both of which who are working at ACS in research and public affairs, respectively. And Katie, you've been around the country over the last couple of days talking to groups of people both in the sector and not in the sector to find out about how they value the sector.
Yeah, so as you said, we've run three focus groups. Two groups with people working in the sector, one male, one female. And then one group of people who work outside of the sector but also in customer-facing roles and in similar paying positions as well. And I think what's been really interesting is looking at how those within the sector perceive convenience stores versus those who are outside of the sector. And what was the most interesting from that was that those who work in convenience stores find that their stores are a really central part of their local community and that they provide essential services to those in the area, and they provide extra support for those in the area that need it as well.
And that's good because that backs up what we've been saying from talking to retailers, from talking to general consumers through things like Community Barometer, through the Local Shop report that says that the Local Shop is a community hub, and every year when the Community Barometer comes out and says that convenience stores are one of the top two services that have a positive impact, that sort of gets looked upon with a bit of scepticism, but it's nice to see another group of people, staff in the convenience sector, feeling that way as well.
Yeah, it really came through. I mean, some people said that, you know, the most positive thing about their job was being able to interact and have that social interaction with people in their communities, especially the elderly in particular. So there was one person there whose store was near a old people's home, and therefore those people, that's the only store that they could actually physically get to. And in other locations and other stores where elderly people might struggle to get those services, people within convenience stores would deliver their groceries to them, or when elderly people would come to the shop, they would maybe walk them home to make sure they got back. Just that little bit extra, basically.
That's right. It's something that we sort of take for granted now because we're right in the face of it. We see great community retailing from members all the time. But I suppose for the people that aren't in the sector, they just didn't have that same feeling about where they worked.
Yeah, I mean, for the people outside of the sector, they said that the fact that convenience was such an important part of the community was just coincidental. You know, it was just something extra, and their main purpose was providing grocery and those essential services, so like post office and access to cash. That was considered as important by everybody, those in the sector and without. But yeah, from those outside the sector, they just thought people just pop in and out. They're not there to chat. They just want to get in. They want to get out.
Just felt like a bit of a cog in the machine.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Whereas those within the sector said, no, actually, people pop in to get a newspaper, but the main reason they're there is because they want to chat to us, and that's the only conversation they're going to have with anybody all day. So, especially with the elderly again, you know, one of the stores was open on Christmas Day handing out mince pies because there were some elderly people that wouldn't actually have a conversation on Christmas Day otherwise. So just those extra little bits that make people feel...
And Steve, that's really important for us, not just for promoting the value of local shops, but also in some of the policy work you're doing on areas like loneliness and in rural areas specifically.
Yes, loneliness is, you know, we've had the loneliness strategy came out back in November. It's very much a focus for the government. And I suppose telling MPs and politicians about how convenience stores are embedded in the local community, providing services, but also going that extra mile for customers through things like local grocery delivery that you don't always hear about, is a really good story to tell. And it's, you know, when we take MPs to local convenience stores in their constituency, It's a regular thing that comes back that, you know, they don't quite realise how wise a convenience store has an impact on its local residents and people living in those areas.
And it's, again, I see it starting to be taken for granted because we see so much of it, but I mean, it's absolutely still one of the defining factors of a convenience store being part of the community. So I'd say to the retailers listening, if you are, you know, if you are doing all this community activity, just continue to shout about it because it is really important. I just want to switch gears a little bit because one of the areas that retailers are really concerned about and from what we're hearing has been shared by staff is about concern with crime. So what were the people in the groups talking about on crime?
Yeah, so those working in the sector, crime was actually one of those things that they talked about straight away. So it's obviously on the minds of the staff, mm-hmm. And it was particularly relevant to them. And I mean, they noticed that it had been a bit more regular as well recently, and I think staff are starting to feel potentially intimidated and in some cases quite frightened, especially when they're working later on in the evenings because some of the stores are open quite late. So in those times particularly, they're feeling quite intimidating in some cases. Mm-hmm. And I think what really came across was that it was kind of like the consistency in which crimes were taking place now. So it's not just one or two incidences, it's really regular now.
So there's just no let up.
Yeah.
It almost becomes a new norm.
Yes.
Just dealing with crime is just part of the job.
Yeah.
And was that the same for people inside and outside the sector, or was there a difference in attitude towards crime?
So those working outside of the sector, I mean, we talked to people who worked in larger retailers and clothing retailers, as well as those in bars and restaurants and completely different sectors. And those outside of the sector kind of had the attitude of, you know, I don't get paid enough, this isn't really my problem. It was still a big issue, like it was still very regular, so like shoplifting in clothing stores was still commented on as being a big issue.
Yeah.
But when it came to kind of how they dealt with that, it wasn't really their problem. They were in a big store with lots of staff, quite a lot of support, and therefore it was kind of like, you know what, if I see it happening, not really my problem.
Right.
Whereas those in the sector, I think they take it a lot more personally.
And I guess that comes with, one, that community feel, and two, I guess, because sometimes there will only be a couple of members of staff on at any time.
Yeah, and also they kind of said, you know, we work in convenience, we're part of the store, essentially we're kind of the only security that store has. And also some people have worked there a long time, and they feel, you know, they've given a lot of their lives to the store, and therefore I think it's just through sheer annoyance that they're like, you know what, actually this isn't right, I work here and I deal with a lot of really, really nice customers, but then I'm not here for you to come in and take stuff for free. So they kind of put a bit more pressure on those that are coming in than people working in other sectors.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they took it a lot more personally.
I think it's interesting, some of the findings we've had on crime from this research. Is something that the employment group were very keen for us to look into in more detail.
And the employment group is one of several expert groups that we have at ACS, which is part of the structure of the way we deal with policy and decide policy.
Yes. It's made up of different people working HR in multiple groups, but also a range of independent retailers, Symbols as well. It's open to any retailer that wants to join and really helps inform our employment submissions to people like the Low Pay Commission, Bays, Labour Markets team, others too. Since the National Living Wage came in and employment costs continue to rise for retailers, we've heard that some retailers have, you know, considered, you know, they've cut back staff hours as being one of the things that has happened,
mm-hmm.
To manage those costs. And that can mean fewer staff on shift at one time.
Yeah.
And when you also look at our findings of the crime report as well, it's interesting to see.
Yeah, and these focus groups will inform the crime survey, which is probably at time of publication, probably out in the field. The crime report will be launched on 26th of March this year, so that's a really important one. Retailer, supplier, other, whoever you are, if you're listening, come along to the crime report launch, because it's one of the key things in the year where we say to government, look, this is a big problem, and you know, this is the scale of the issue that we're dealing with. And we need support both at a national and local level. So, date for your diary, London, Church House, 26th of March, the launch of the crime report this year. You can get all the details at acs.org.uk. So Katie, obviously the focus groups talked about quite a lot of different topics. With crime being perhaps a deterrent for working in the sector, I guess, for some, you'd probably expect a bit of a higher staff turnover. So there are probably other things that are beneficial to working in the sector. What other things came out from the groups?
Yeah, I think so. One of the biggest positives is, like I've already said, they really enjoy that social interaction with the community. They really like having those customer-facing roles, you know, not sitting behind a desk, doing things where they can help people in the day. But also other things such as, you know, the hours were just right for them. They fit in with their lives. They could have part-time. They saw that it was advertising for maybe 15 hours a week, and they were like, oh yeah, that fits perfectly in with what I needed. So that was that one of the other main reasons. Yeah, exactly. So that flexibility of hours is really important, and it came up a lot.
And that's something that we've specifically been talking to the Low Pay Commission about, isn't it? The flexibility on both sides.
Yeah, it's I suppose a big theme coming out of the Taylor Review, which was originally commissioned by the Prime Minister to look at whether our employment legislation is keeping up with the modern labour markets. One theme that came out of that was looking at the idea of one-sided flexibility. Mm-hmm. That in certain areas of the labour markets, companies like delivery companies and things like that, where flexibility may be just for the employer and not necessarily the employee.
Sure. Yeah, you hear about a lot of companies saying, oh, no, you have to work certain shifts, you have to do this, that and the other, and people just it not fitting around their lives. Whereas, Casey, what you're saying is that inconvenience, perhaps it's a bit more tailored around people's lives and especially those who have other commitments.
Yeah, definitely. I think what stood out in the focus groups was that they really valued the flexibility, but also it's kind of like they're part of a team. So if they wanted to swap their shifts with other people when they needed it, so maybe they, I don't know, something came up and they needed to go home and look after their children, whatever it might be that might have changed, they can swap shifts with some of their colleagues. Mm. And it was kind of the impression that, you know, we'll help you out, you help us out. It was done quite fairly. Everybody seemed quite happy with the way that it worked. You know, we asked, you know, is flexibility an issue? Does it benefit your employer more than you? And they just seemed to say, you know, it is done fairly. We do enjoy that we have that flexibility too, because it benefits us. I think the only thing, there were occasions where people said, you know, I wish I had a bit more notice if something changed last minute, if someone called in sick.
But I suppose that's going to be the same across every job, isn't it?
But then again, they said, you know, we're willing to help those people out at those times. Then I know when I call in sick, people are going to help me out. So it's kind of like that real team spirit, which was another positive that came through the groups of why people stay in their jobs so long. Things like they had a good team.
And with them staying quite long, they're obviously thinking towards the future as well. A couple of things came out as a bit of a challenge around progression in the future, especially in the sector.
Yeah, so I mean, it was interesting because from both the people working in the sector and without, convenience had quite a bad reputation for progression.
Right.
So people kind of saw it as a job rather than a career. And that, unfortunately, came across in both those in the sector and without, and outside of it. And I think what was interesting is they kind of said it's not really worth progressing in some cases because the pay
has been squeezed.
Yeah, so between being a customer assistant and a supervisor is about an extra 50p in some cases. Some people said, look, you know, it's not worth the extra stress, the extra responsibility for just not that much extra pay.
And that's something that, Steve, comes up in the commission, in the submissions to the Low Pay Commission every year, isn't it? It's about squeezes on pay that are perhaps not just cutting staff hours, but reducing the benefits, and in this case, reducing the benefits of being more senior.
It's very useful data we get from this research because, of course, you know, as wage rates increase, doesn't only affect those people that may be on those rates, but also those just above. And we do see, as over the last couple of years, how the differential between a shop floor role and a supervisory role has generally declined, as our research has shown. And that's interesting as Low Pay Commission also looks at how the wage rates impact career progression in a range of sectors, including, of course, ours too.
People are just saying there isn't really that incentive or that financial incentive to do so. And they did say in some cases, you know, people do want to progress. And in those scenarios, they felt that there weren't really that many barriers. You know, if they wanted to do well and they had a good manager, they felt like they could go places, and it was more about the leadership and maybe becoming a manager of their own store. And some people do have those aspirations, but they had very good managers. They had quite supportive employers as well. So I think in some cases it works really well, and in other cases maybe just a bit more incentive.
Yeah, I think you're right. And we've seen through research that we've done on things like the Local Shop Report, training and qualifications and apprenticeships, things like NVQs, has been a bit of a challenge in our sector. It's for retailers to just get that right. We have seen some great examples. I was judging a little while ago at the one of the awards dues for the sector, and some of the things that stood out were where stores were getting people doing NVQs, getting people doing apprenticeships. But it is still a challenge because, you know, retailers have got to deal with just the overall cost of employment and then, you know, deal with what's left after that. So,
and with progression as well, some people don't want to progress just because they have the right amount of hours they want. They're only in the sector because it fits around their lives. That's what they want. It's perfect for them.
It's the right amount of hassle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So for some people, it's not the case that the incentive isn't there. It's just what they've got now is perfect for them, and therefore there's no need for them to change. So it's quite a few things really there.
Great. Well, I mean, we could probably talk about this for quite a lot longer, but because the focus group's really brought out quite a lot of interesting information. We're going to capture that in honing down the colleague survey, which should be out now. You'll be able to fill that in if you're a retailer. Steve, how important is the colleague survey to what we do with government and really just explaining how important retail staff are?
It's crucial. I can't really emphasise enough how useful this research is to give us a perspective direct from people working in the sector. We, of course, have our annual National Living Wage Survey, member survey, that gives us a perspective direct from retailers. But this really enables us to speak up on the value of employment in the sector.
Outside of just what the wage rate is.
Yes. So, you know, looking at things like how local people are, to where they're working, with the sector providing lots of local jobs, the flexibility we touched upon earlier with fitting around staff commitments, wider, you know, how colleagues value their training and those opportunities for progression that we touched upon too. In terms of how we use this research, it will go into our engagements with the Low Pay Commission. We also, you know, we had the Good Work Plan come out recently, how the government's gonna work towards ensuring quality of employment in the workplace.
And I guess it's important for things like store visits as well, where explaining to MPs when they come into a store actually how cost increases are affecting the business as well.
Yeah, it's very powerful. It helps us in those conversations with MPs, and I just encourage anyone listening to really fill it out.
Okay, so you'll be able to find the colleague survey. It will probably be in your inbox. If it's not, you'll be able to find it on our website or email Katie. Again, details on the website, acs.org.uk. I would finish off by saying a couple of things to look out for. The next report launch is in Parliament. That's the Rural Shop Report, and that will pick up on a lot of the community aspect of working in shops, because for rural stores, that aspect of loneliness, that aspect of community is magnified compared to the rest of the sector, so look out for that. And then, as I mentioned before, Crime Report, 26th of March in London. Again, both of these free for retailers to attend. Please come along, and as Steve, Katie and I have all said, please do fill in the colleague survey, send it out to all of your staff, because it is really important in, you know, sending a clear message to government and to the Low Pay Commission. Until then, again, last thing I would say is make sure you subscribe, because when big events happen and we're here reacting in a hopefully quiet corner of the office, you will get that reaction before anyone else. So until then, look forward to talking to you soon.